Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, today we focus on the topic of love. Life is always best when this love that we have within us, a love we have received from God, it's always best when that inner love would motivate us in what we say and what we do. In other words, we'll find out today that it's very easy to say things that sound really good, do things that seem really good, and yet, if they don't have that proper motivation of love, really, they aren't any good at all. Notice how that comes out here as we focus on what we sometimes call the love chapter as we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In this first section, notice these wonderful realities, wonderful actions, but the problem here with all of them is they happen apart from love. St. Paul wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love." Well, let's get this straight too today. We're talking about a kind of love that is the kind of love that God has for us. So we're talking about agape love. So agape love is a true love. Agape love is an unconditional love. So Paul wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels," in other words, if I speak in really wonderful ways, "but I have not love, I have become like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." So to say wonderful words, but to say them with the wrong motivation, maybe it would sound like this. Did that sound nice? No. So how would Kathy like it if I said to her, would she enjoy that? No. So we can say I love you, and yet if it's not coming from what is right inside, it just isn't a good thing. God wants us to know that reality. Notice in verse 2, we can have all kinds of amazing things. We can have prophecy. God can give us knowledge of what's coming in the future. We can understand all mysteries. We can have an incredible knowing about things that most people don't know. And then we can have the gift of faith, where if there was a big mountain out here, I would say, mountain, get up and move over there, and the mountain moved. What if I had all that going on? Prophecies, mysteries, knowledge, the ability to move mountains? That would be a pretty awesome thing, wouldn't it? But Paul wrote that if we have all of that and we do not have love, that we are nothing. So love is a really important thing. And then if we go even further, notice what he wrote in verse 3. "And if I give away all I have to the poor," so I take all the stuff I have and I give it away to people who are in need. Now I'm left naked because I even gave away all of my clothes. And then let's say there's a situation and this guy has been arrested and they're going to burn him to death. And I'm like, oh no, wait a minute. I don't have any clothes anyway. Let him go and burn me to death. Wouldn't that be quite a commendable thing to do? But yet, Paul says that even if we would go that far, we gain, we profit, we benefit nothing if we do it without love. So love, again, is a really important thing. We might ask ourselves then, what is love? Because if we're going to speak and act in love, we need to know what it is. It's interesting how the chapter is laid out here, because only with two statements does God tell us what love is. But if you count them up there, with eight statements, God is telling us what love is not. I think he does that because oftentimes there are ways in which we proceed and we think those ways somehow are connected to love, and yet God is trying to make it very clear to us that many of the things we think are connected to love, in fact, are not connected to love. Look at what it says there. What is love? Love is patient. Love is kind. So patience, that means we are willing to wait, even as God is waiting for more and more people to repent before Jesus comes again. Love is merciful. So God is merciful to us in that he does not punish us for the wrongs that we have done. Instead, he punished his son in our place. So God is patient. God is merciful to us. So when we love others, we are willing to wait on them. We are holding back the punishment they deserve. And we are continuing to love them in a God-honoring way. What love is not? Notice all these things here. So love is not jealous. We could say that love instead is content. Love does not brag. So love does loving things without drawing attention to itself. Love just does it, or love just says it. Love is not arrogant. So love takes no credit for the things it does. Love gives all the glory to God. Love does not behave disgracefully. So love is always acting and speaking in ways that are thoroughly proper. Love does not seek for itself. So we all know how to love ourselves. If I am cold, I put on another shirt. If I am hungry, I go into the kitchen and find something to eat. So we understand how to love ourselves, but yet love is not self-seeking, so it doesn't seek to do what it needs, but rather love is looking at others, seeing what they need, and taking action for them. Love does not provoke to anger. So love is sensitive to the needs of other people. So before I speak, I'm thinking, how are they going to respond to that? I don't want to anger them. Before I act, how are they going to react to that? I don't want to anger them by what I do. So love is sensitive in that way. Love does not take into account evil. So even when evil is coming at love, love doesn't turn into evil, but love continues to love even in the face of evil. And then love does not rejoice over wrongdoing. So what does love rejoice over? Love rejoices over right doing. How do we know what right doing is? We live in a pretty mixed up world today. Our world doesn't really know, but from God's word, we know what right doing is. That's what love rejoices over. So we know what love is. We know what love is not. What does it look like when love is functioning? Well, love is rejoicing, keeping confidential, believing, hoping, enduring. What love looks like when it's moving. So love is rejoicing with the truth. Love is keeping things confidential in that love keeps a secret. Love believes firmly all that God has said to be true. Love knows that all God's promises will come true in time. And love knows that it's going to keep loving and stay on track no matter what. It's not going to give up. These are ways in which love is functioning. God wants us to function in that way too, and especially we should rejoice that God is functioning in all those ways toward us. And then Paul goes on to talk about love being something that never ends or something that never becomes invalid. Have you ever had something, maybe like a membership somewhere, and then you tried to go to that place and you found out, oh, my membership expired. No longer valid. Or you had a coupon for a store, you thought you were going to get a good deal, and now the coupon has expired, no longer valid. God wants us to know that love never becomes invalid. But are there a lot of things in life, though, that are going to become invalid someday? There are. We have a whole bunch of them here. So Paul talked about prophecies, speaking in tongues, having great knowledge. He says all of those things are going to come to an end someday. So those are things for this temporary life, But when this temporary life on earth is over, then all those things will come to an end, but not love. Love will continue. Love will never become invalid. And then Paul went on to talk about some examples of temporary things. So he talked about when he was a very young child, he spoke like a very young child, he thought like a very young child, he reasoned things out like a very young child. But when he became a man, did he continue in such things? He didn't. He began to act differently. He was no longer a very young child, no longer acted like a very young child. So over time, things changed. Over time, love does not change. Love continues to always be valid. Also, too, a talk there about what we see. So notice here with a literal interpretation of verse 12, the Bible says, "For now I see through a mirror in a riddle." For now I see through a mirror in a riddle. It sounds difficult to understand, but if I shared a riddle with you, some of you might get it, and other ones would be like, "I don't get it. What's he talking about? What does that mean?" What Paul is trying to say here is that a long time ago, if you looked in a mirror, it wasn't a very clear image. I happen to bring a mirror today, and if I look in this mirror, I'm going to see what I actually look like. Oh. So sometimes it can be bad when we actually have good mirrors. Because if we didn't have a good mirror, I would never know what I looked like other than how you described to me what I looked like. I would never know myself. It's kind of an odd thing, isn't it? But a long time ago, though, the best they could do is to look in a mirror that was very dim, kind of like looking at a statement that was a riddle. Hard to see, hard to understand. How can we understand that a little bit better today? Well, if I take off my glasses, I can still see you, but you look a little bit dim, you're a little bit fuzzy. So that's how the world is today. We just can't quite see the whole clear picture. But we are blessed, though, in the 21st century with very high-quality glasses. What a great blessing. But God wants us to know that without the glasses, that's how we see things now. But when Christ comes and we're with God forever, then we'll be able to see things so very clearly. And then he talks about what we know. So right now, as God looks down upon us, God knows everything about us. Nothing is hidden at all. God knows all the good. He knows all the bad. He knows all the ugly. When we look back at God, do we really know that much? We know what we need to know, but there is so much that we don't know. God wants us to know this is a temporary situation. Someday, we're going to know all about God, even as now God knows all about us. And then finally, in the last part here, we see that love is timeless. So we have this famous passage that says, "Now faith, hope, and love abide." That means they continue, they exist, those three. But the greatest of those is love. So why is faith not so great? We talk a lot about faith, don't we? What is faith? Faith is believing what we cannot see. Faith is believing what we cannot see, but once we see it, do we need faith anymore? No. So all these things we believe in now, someday we're going to see them, so no more need for faith. What is hope? Hope is the certainty that the promises that God has made will come true. So right now we have hope. We have a certain hope. We have a blessed hope. But once God brings all of his promises to fulfillment, do we need hope anymore? By no means. No more need for hope. All the promises have been fulfilled. But what about love? Now, in today's world, God has shown great love for us. Why did God send his son? We know the passage. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." So it was the love of God that moved him to send Jesus. So in this life, it's important that we are motivated by love. So the way we interact with our spouses, that should be motivated by love. The way we go about things in the workplace, relating to our coworkers, doing the work that we're supposed to do, we should do that in love. When we think about all kinds of things in life, God wants us to be motivated by love. That will be honoring to God, that will be a blessing to us, and God will use us to be a great blessing to others. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that your love is so awesome. It is so great that you were moved by that love to give your Son into this world to take away our sins, even the sins of the entire world. Thank you so very much. Because you have first loved us, and we have received that love in Christ, now we are equipped to love you in return and also to love others. Now that we know a little bit more about what love is, help us, guide us, strengthen us, that we might go forth in rightly loving you and rightly loving others according to their needs and unto your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.